Welcome. Hello. Hey, everybody. Hey, how's it going? Test. Is this syphilis? Is this on? Can everybody hear me? Wow. All right. You know, I'll never get tired of hearing the way my voice sounds. I think it sounds like shit. I think I sound kind of airy and dry, but yeah, I think it sounds, I think I like me, but what am I so afraid of? Anyways, welcome everybody. Today is May 21st-ish, I think. Yeah, fuck it, whatever. It's Thursday before Memorial Weekend. Wow, what crazy times we're living in. So I realize that we're putting like a sort of a historical landmark in the digital world, the online world. So I know people are going to come back and listen to this in the future, try and study me and study my guests and Margaret, the beautiful, talented, very smart and entertaining Margaret, and try and understand like how the fuck did these people from back in the day, how could they be so smart, so good looking and talented and navigate through these turbulent waters that we live in during this pandemic. So we are in like the second month of a global pandemic called Corona or COVID-19, which is a virus that is devastating the globe. Not everybody per se, but economically everybody for sure, but medically not everybody, but it is a crazy virus. It what's funny is how it's been politicized. It's crazy. Today it's just Margaret and I talking about the virus, the economy, different regions opening back up again, if they're ready and if they're not. It's amazing how, I mean, the United States is a political, I mean, there's a big political divide in the country the way most people are. And I think that's okay. I think that's fine. I think a little yin and yang is a good thing. I don't think that's unique to the United States. I don't think it's a new thing. I mean, the United States is only, you know, less than 300 years old. And so, like, I think it's understandable that there's different opinions and that those different opinions sort of like filter themselves into two big categories. I think that's okay. No big deal. Nobody gives a shit. And I think it's a good thing. And I don't think that's unique. I think the yin and yang has always been around, or the you know, the two different poles. But it's funny how when we're faced with a threat like this virus, an existential threat like this virus, how it can become political. And I don't know if that becomes, I don't know if that comes from fear or anger. I don't know where that comes from inside. I have another friend of mine who's a brilliant brain guy. I wish I could have him on the show. Man, Scott, if you listen to the show, we need to talk about this. I'm sure there's a lot to unpack here. Unfortunately, I don't pay any of my guests for their brilliance. But anyways, I'm curious to know what is the driver, why this has become political. And I'm guessing it has to do with fear. I think fear is a big part of that. Afraid of not just like of what the virus is, but afraid of the outlook of the economy, the outlook of people's livelihoods, the uncertainty of whether or not you're gonna be able to put food on the table. I think a lot of those things drive people's behaviors and the way they perceive things. So it's interesting. But anyways, I'm already rambling for four fucking minutes here, but. So today's podcast is great. We're really just talking about where we are with this virus, what we're going to do, what we think is going to happen with schools, what we think the new normal is going to be. It's funny, I've heard that it's offensive to call it the new normal. It's assuming that things will never go back to the way it used to be. And to be honest, I don't think it will. I mean, maybe in 2 or 3 years, but in the immediate future, I don't see how this thing's going to go, like, what. How's it going to go back to like, just forget it. But anyways, so today Margaret and I talk about the virus, homeschooling. We talk about, you know, not, what are the benefits of going into work that, you know, yeah, you're driving to work, you have the commute, but being able to like get in the zone, mentally prepare yourself for work, and then the ability to shut work off and say, all right, I got to beat traffic home. And then like you turn off your computer and, you know, you drive home, you listen to your podcast or whatnot, but you sort of disconnect and you listen to this podcast, but you disconnect and you sort of get on with your life. So it's pretty interesting. In that dynamic, because I know a lot of people are real happy continue to work from home. Those of us that have the ability to work from home and that are still employed, because that's fucking not everybody. So it's interesting. It's an interesting time, but we talk a lot about that. We don't get into anything else really. So if that's not your bang, baby, I don't blame you for skipping this one, but it is good nonetheless. Margaret is phenomenal. I love her to death. She's got a great insight. She's got the greatest personality. Guys, if you're single in San Antonio, hit her up. You know, I'll give you her number, send you a picture. I'll give you her address. She's fantastic. Here she cooks really well and she makes a great cup of coffee. So anyways, enough of me talking all this bullshit that you don't want to hear. Let's get on with the show, shall we? All right. I guess let's just roll with it. I really did. I did have an agenda, but let me see. I wrote it on a chalkboard. I'm trying to be all hipster and cool. So I have chalkboards, are cool and everything, but like the one that I have for the show is behind my shoulder. So let me see what it says. It says episode 12.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're already on episode 12?
Fuck, I hope so. I'm either on episode 12 or 13. And then... Okay, so, so it's totally inappropriate. You don't want to know what it says. Let's just make lemonade. So.
Oh, Leonard.
Oh, Margaret.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Day bow bow. Anyways, okay, so all right. Well, welcome. It's May 21st. We are like I'm guessing we are in like the very beginning phases of the coronavirus. I think we had a lot of people that are thinking that like, oh, you know, we're opening up the economy and everything's going to be getting back to normal. So, you know, look out, you know, here we come. Here come the Griswolds. But I actually think that the worst is yet to come. I think we are still going to be quarantined for quite a while.
What is it like in Houston? Because I know over here in San Antonio, I want to say that it was the stay home, stay safe, shelter in place until June 4th. What is it like in Harris County?
So I live in Fort Bend County, which is cool. Okay. That's where all the white people live in the suburbs of Houston that live out, you know. So it is pretty much business as usual. I mean, like, okay. Face masks are optional. You don't get judged if you're not wearing them.
Have you been going to the stores without a mask, Leonard?
Yes. Yes. If I'm going to be honest, I do. I go to HEB quite frequently. Yesterday, I rode my bicycle to Target and then to Trader Joe's. Do you have a Trader Joe's in San Antonio?
Yeah, somewhere on the north side in the rich area.
Yeah.
Which I do not frequent.
No, I can't imagine you would. And also what's surprising is like...
We have Trader Juan's over here.
You have Trader Pepe's.
Trader's Village.
Trader Pepe. No, what's funny is like, so we have Trader Joe's, but what's funny is that like Trader Joe's is, it's actually known for being very inexpensive. It's an inexpensive... a grocery store that sells like organic food, and what most like suburban white people know them for is like they have really cheap wine. So
oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. And so like I use a wine app. I'm not going to say which one it's called because I'm not getting paid for it. But I use the wine app, and What it allows me to do is it allows me to drink a bunch of wine and then like I taste it and I give it like a rating. And so like I'm basically like an unofficial sommelier.
So go ahead and forward me that link.
Oh, bro. I will. Oh, seriously. Like I'm like this box of wine, I'm giving it a the aromas of it, and I show Amy and she's like, it's very grape forward. I'm getting a lot. Everything Amy says is like I'm getting mostly grape and then slight alcohol. I'm like, that's pretty much right on.
Okay, so you said boxed wine. So is it boxed wine or is it wine in a box?
Both. Oh, dude, it's so guilty. So at Trader Joe's, what's amazing about it is like I can go and buy 6 bottles of wine. The wine is so cheap, they don't give you a discount for buying it in bulk. So like when you go to HEB or in Houston,
we have,
so like
I've been sleeping on Trader Joe's.
Dude, seriously. So like what they're known for is what they call Two Buck Chuck, which is like Charles Shaw is like the winery, the local, like the winery of the grocery store. And they sell it for like $2 a bottle. And it's not great, but it's not terrible. Like it's not like it's not like Riunite or, you know, like the Italian Lambrusco. Like it's still pretty decent, you know? Like, again, you're not going to fool anybody when you pull out a bottle of Two Buck Chuck. Like, everybody knows, like, oh, you're a cheap-ass, you know, white suburbanite that goes to Trader Joe's. But they also have, like, special reserves and different ones. Anyways, I don't want to – it's good shit. You're not going to spend more than $10 a bottle, and they're all really good, so –
Wow. Okay, so this app, like, do you just do your reviews and they send you something?
No. You still have to buy wine and all that. But when you drink the wine, you get to, like, rate it.
Rate them, uh-huh.
Yeah, and then you're not really drinking wine. You're like a taste tester.
Yeah.
So you're not getting, you know, like, when I'm sitting there going through 2 or 3 bottles a night, like, Amy's like, oh, wow, you're really a sophisticated gentleman, you know, ranking all these wines. And I'm like, yeah.
Wow, you're trying to get up in that rating world, aren't you, Litter?
It is. It's like I'm like one of those influencers. Like, what do they call it? Like the Firefest? What was that? I'm like an Instagram influencer, but for wine. But nobody follows me. It just basically what it means is I drink wine and then I write some notes down about it. I'm like, I'm getting notes of caramel and earth and use phrases like that a bunch of times, and then they're like, oh, well, he's a very sophisticated individual.
So, like, I enjoy drinking wine, although I'll drink anything. Mm-hmm. I don't have, like, a specific palate, I guess you could say, for wine. But, like, as long as it's not that white Zinfandel from church, you know, I'm good.
Dude, so, all right, you know what? First of all, I have learned in my life not to turn my nose at any wine. Like, there is a time and place for everything. So, like, and to be honest with you, like, rarely does it have to be expensive. And I have had some, like, I'm not going to say I've had, like, expensive wine, like the, you know, $800 a bottle. Never had that. But I've had some, like, you know, $200 bottle of wine. And I'm like,
yeah. Bougie wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. It's not bad. Yeah. I make, you know, some faces and some noises. You know, I sift the glass. This is good shit.
It's cool.
It's whatever. I mean, it's not Dos Equis, but it's good. It's not bad. You know, like, I don't put, like, you know, lime and salt in it and some, like, tajin. But, like, you know, I'm educated. You know, I'm fucking smart enough. But there's all these, like, rules and shit people put with wine. And I'm like, you know... Dude.
Yeah, why?
You know, exactly.
I mean, why put rules on what you drink and what you pair with what you're gonna eat, you know?
Yeah. So, like, you know what? The shit tastes good, it tastes good. But I will say, so that being said, I know from, like, you know, I'm an amazing cook. Like, I cook some amazing shit. You've been watching.
Absolutely.
Yes. And you know what's the best part is? Emma loves to help me now.
I know. I watch her in all the videos that you post, and I'm like, this girl is going to be just so open to trying everything when she continues to grow up, to the point where You think she'll be hard to please?
Dude, that's what, so a friend of mine was telling me, she's like, I feel sorry for the guy that tries to impress your daughter.
Yes, that's what, like, I think. Like, but, I mean, fuck it, right?
Right? I mean, she, like, some guy's going to try and impress her with, like, some, like,
Raviolis.
Yeah.
She's like,
oh, this so, can. So you I just, you just opened the package and cooked what's in the pack. Oh, well, that's a nice try.
You can't impress me with that top ramen.
But all right, but here's the thing, like, I also tell my daughter, it's like, you know what, like, taste isn't in your eyes, taste is in your mouth. So, like, don't get me wrong, she loves Chef Boyardee. Like, she doesn't turn her nose up to any of that shit. So, like, if it tastes good, she gives it a big thumbs up. She gives it a big fat thumbs up. So but my favorite thing is, like, this morning Amy asked me to help make breakfast while she got dressed. And so, like, it was 7:45. I'd already started working because, as you know, we're all working from home. And what the heck? I know, right? So I had an 8 o'clock, like, town hall conference call. Mm-hmm. And Amy's like, hey, can you cook breakfast for Emma? I'm like, yeah, of course, babe. I'm fucking Superman. I can do anything. I'm making fucking rain. And so I start, you know.
And then you grab the cereal box.
So I ask Emma, I go, Emma, what do you want for breakfast? I said, you can have cereal and craisins with milk.
You're like, you want the 2% or the almond,
yeah. Emma? She's like, I'm like, you can have cereal with craisins and milk, or you can have granola. Or Greek yogurt with some fresh blueberry granola.
Mm.
And she's like, And then I could tell that she was still not there. I'm like, or I can make you some, like, bacon and eggs and frijoles and fresh tortillas. And she's like, tortillas? Daddy, I want that. I want eggs with tortillas.
Aww.
And she goes, I want to help you make them. I'm like, all right, sister, let's go. So we made the masa. We made the dough. Got the thing out and started, like, I got that comal, and I'm sitting there making some, like, legit fresh Mexican tortillas. And
you're pressing them.
Yeah, she is. She's doing most of the work. I'm just sitting there watching and helping. I mean, what can I say? Like, she likes it, and I'm like, all right, you know what? Well, you know what the hell? We can do it. Right? Fuck it. And sure enough, 15 minutes later, we had, like, bacon and egg tacos with refried black beans, fresh corn tortillas, and queso fresco, and I had a red salsa and a green salsa. So,
dang.
I know. It's crazy. It's pretty crazy. I'm not gonna lie. So, yeah, she's pretty spoiled, my daughter. She is pretty
what
spoiled.
What I like to see is her helping out in the kitchen. That's what I like to see. I mean, because she seems so interested in how to do it, how to prepare your meal, and what, you know, the work that goes into all these meals that you prepare for them. And she seems, like, very interested in and in wanting to learn how to do it.
I think it's, there was a show, was it called Tiana?
I don't know.
There's one of the Disney cartoons that she just watched a couple weeks ago where Tiana's like a chef. And anyways, whatever. That's what's inspired her. And nonetheless, you're right. She wants to help out. She wants to do it. Like, my daughter's not happy unless she does it. No, that's my job, Daddy. That's my job. I'm going to do it.
Awesome. So, good for her.
I know. I think it's fantastic. But at the same time, I also feel sorry for the guy that tries to impress her. Because, like, that shit ain't going to fly.
Yeah, you totally messed it up already.
Yeah, but you know what? Good for me. You know what? Good for me. Yep. Of course. So it's going to take some good impression to do for her. No, so, yeah, I mean, you know, cooking and, you know, drinking wine, getting fat. I guess that's what the virus is doing to all of us.
Are you doing any, like, home remodeling, any additions?
We did a lot of that outside. I put everything with smart controls. I put in some smart light switches. And then,
shush.
Yeah. And so then I lit up the backyard. I put string lights all around the backyard. And then Emma's got one of those, like, little play areas, you know, like the swing set with the tower thing. And basically I ran LED lights and outlined the whole thing with LED lights. And then I connected all of that to one of the light switches that's smart controlled. So like, you know, the Amazon, I don't want to say the name because it's in the office too, but it controls.
And she's got a castle.
Yeah, and she's got a castle. Yay. It's all connected to the lights. And so now she knows that shit too. But, you know, no big deal. So, yeah, I've been doing a lot of that. Also, I showed her some Beatles songs. We saw that movie yesterday. I don't know, have you seen it yet?
I haven't. What movie is it?
It's called Yesterday. It's about like a singer-songwriter in UK.
Yes. Yeah. Like a time-traveling kind
well,
of deal.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, like, he gets hit by a car, and he wakes up in a hospital, and the reality that wakes up in is, like, the Beatles never existed. And so, but he knows all the songs. And so, like, he starts singing these songs, and we're like, that's beautiful. What is it called? And he's like, when did you write it? And he's like, I didn't write it. It's the Beatles wrote it. So John, Paul, George, and Ringo. And they're like, who? I'm like, well, the Beatles. Anyways, it's my terrible British accent. And it's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty awesome. It's like it's a good movie. So definitely watch. If you haven't watched Yesterday, watch it. It's pretty amazing. I really liked it. Anyways, good. Housing remodeling. It's kind of, you know, I've done enough. I've done enough trips to Lowe's. I've been going to Lowe's. Been doing that. You know, keeping busy, you know.
Yeah, you have to. You have to. I think with nothing against your wife. This could go for anybody who's married and with kids, and they're all working from home, homeschooling, and, you know, working from home. I think, like, that's a huge struggle.
Well, I was going to ask you.
Some people.
So you have two kids. One of them is off being an adult in the military. And then how old is Soel?
He's 12.
So he's what, in 8th grade?
7th grade. He'll be going to the 8th grade, yeah.
He's going into 8th grade. Mm-hmm. So what is that like with homeschooling?
It's been really difficult. I'm not going to lie. It's been really difficult because, you know, the environment that he's used to is at school. So when you're at school, when they are at school, school creates this learning environment, whereas once you're done with that learning environment, at the end of the day, you come home to your safe place. You come home to TV. You come home to screen time. Disconnect. And dinner and family time. Yeah. So when you try to combine those two, it's very difficult to try to show your child, like, okay, this is going to be your learning environment now, you know, and it really isn't a learning environment because you can't
for his whole life.
So what I did was I provided a schedule for him and I had alarms going off at each period, and there's 8 periods in his day. And I said, okay, you have 45 minutes to work on each period, you know, that you're in. And regardless if you don't have any work to do, for if your teacher has not sent you any work, go ahead and Google something in for that classroom, you know, for that classwork. Go ahead and Google something, find something to do, but use your time wisely, because we're sitting at the kitchen table and I'm like, this is going to be your classroom, this is your learning environment. And I even put signs around him to for him to see, like, okay, during this time, this is what period you're supposed to be in, literally, even at school, you know.
You get the schedule posted.
Yeah, he has the school schedule is like on the wall, and you know, it's really difficult for kids to kind of put themselves at home, but in a learning environment, because it isn't. It really isn't.
You know, that's a really, really good point, because I don't think that's just unique to kids. I think that happens with adults too. So
for sure.
Talking to my coworkers, you know, because like now's a really good time to check in with your friends, check in with your coworkers, check in with even the people that you don't like give them a call.
Yeah.
No, seriously, like give them a call, see how they're doing. Because and you know what's funny? Well, here's what's fucked up is like, on the surface, things may seem good, but like you got to kind of ask a couple extra questions, because truth be told, like you scratch one or two layers deep and like shit's not okay. I mean,
totally agree.
I mean, there's what is it? In Mexico, South America, there's like the rate of domestic violence is like quadrupled. It's really bad. And it's pretty imperative for us to, you know, basically check in on our friends. And what I've noticed doing that is I've gotten some great feedback, because like the big question is like, I'm asking all my friends, I'm like, so, hey, what do you like about working from home? How do you like it? And, you know, essentially, do you want to keep doing it? And everybody's a little bit apprehensive at first, like, well, yeah, I mean, it's great. I'm good. I'd like to go to the office, you know, one or two days a week, you know, just to show my face and like collaborate with my team and like, you know, say, you know, like just kind of make sure everybody knows I'm still working and like all these things. I'm like, yeah. But if everybody knew that you're already working and you weren't really allowed to collaborate with your team at work, like, would you really go back to work? I mean, would that really be something you'd want to do? I mean, if you didn't have to, right? If you didn't have to go in the office, would you? And, you know, and what we're finding out is like 90, 95% of the population is very content staying at home working. And one of the challenges when I talk to all my friends, it's like, first thing I do, right? I'll call coworkers, I'll call friends. And like most of the time, especially, I'm not going to be all sexist, but especially the women, they do not turn on the video camera. Like they'll just do the audio when you like Skype call them or whatever.
Really? So it's not like mandatory that everybody joins in on a Zoom call, audio and visual?
Well, it's not mandatory. Like nothing. Okay. So when you work in the adult world, like you came from a pretty, I'm not going to lie, it sounds like your previous employer, like if you had to have like mandatory rules, like if that was the case, then like they didn't really treat you like adults, right? Like, so
I work in
a different environment where everybody is like well compensated and they're treated like adults to make decisions, you know, adult decisions on their own. And so like, don't get me wrong, they're influenced, right? Like people are influenced to turn on their video cameras, even if they don't want to, they're encouraged to do so because it's more engaging. And I agree with that. I think I definitely connect more. I mean, you know, it's also a double standard, right? Like I'm a dude, so like I barely have to get up in the morning. I comb my hair, maybe throw on a baseball cap, you know, turn it backwards, make me look cool. And like I'm camera ready.
I'm at home.
I'm super cool. I'm camera ready. Right, but women have always had a different pressure, and I think that's unfair. And it's a shitty world that we live in, but it is the world that we live in. Camera or no camera, you know, when guys go to work, you know, I used to go to work. I would go work out in the gym at work, take a shower, eat breakfast, and go to work. And a lot of women I knew couldn't do that because their morning routine to dry their hair, you know, do all their stuff took way too long, and they didn't want to do it at work, and they definitely didn't want to do it in front of other coworkers in the gym environment. So, I mean, did you ever work out in the gym in the morning, or did you do it like
Actually, I was about to say, I went to the gym at about 4:30 in the morning to get a good workout, but also be ready for work by 7.
That's
because
insane.
I did take a lot of time to get ready, you know, only because I like to take my time to get ready. I hate rushing. I hate to rush.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But, you know, I gave myself time in the morning to get ready, so I had no excuse to not be at my desk by 7 or 8.
Yeah, but you just, but what I'm saying, yeah, but nonetheless, you allocated what? Like, how long did you allocate from when you got done working out to when you were leaving the gym?
About an hour and a half.
Shut the fuck up. No.
I'm not lying.
No.
Yes.
No.
About an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. No. Like, I'm talking about, like, when you got done working out. Like, you go to the gym at 4:30. That means you only worked out for 50 minutes?
It was about 50 minutes, an hour.
Flojera. And then, so, like, from 5:30 to 7, was showering and like
showering. And blow drying my hair, curling my hair, makeup time.
You barely
and then I would
have,
take like a couple of outfits just to see how I felt after my workout. You know,
no.
Like, oh, okay, this looks good. All right.
You didn't.
I did.
You would and bring multiple outfits to work. You would carry them in your gym bag. Go to the gym.
Yeah. Sometimes I'd forget my outfits.
No, you didn't. Well, I mean, everybody did that.
I did. I had to go to Walmart. I'm not going to lie.
So I typically would forget my belt. But fortunately, Amy would always drop him off at daycare, which is at work. So it was fuck. I'd try.
Can you bring me a belt?
Yeah. Like, babe, bring me a belt. And there was times where like she couldn't. And I'm like, well, I'm going to fucking go to Walmart and buy a belt. And, like, I've got a couple of Walmart belts, you know, the little $12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not outfits though. Fuck. You would forget whole outfits?
I forgot my whole entire outfit one day.
How? What did you bring? What was in your bag?
I don't know. I usually, the night before, I was very good about prepping the night before. Okay, I ironed my clothes. I had it ready by the door. Everything was good. But for some reason, I don't know what happened. I just forgot to grab my clothes. And Walmart did not open until 7. And I was already done getting ready by 6:30. And I was like, all right, cool. Walmart opens at 6. No, it's a 24-hour Walmart. No, I pull up and they don't open till 7.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I had to find like a quinceañera dress.
So for the white people that listen to the show, a quinceañera dress is basically like a wedding gown. That's pretty funny. So I'm very conscious of like the double standard. So like guys in the gym, like we would like leave the gym locker room with our hair still wet. You know, like, oh, I'm ready to go. You tuck in your business shirt, like go eat some breakfast and like, you're ready to rock and roll, you know, 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Yet you, like, because a dude can shower, you know, shit shower and shave in 10, 15 minutes and done, you know? But with women, I understand. And so, like, it doesn't change at home,
too,
right?
Lenny, is that when I would go at 4 o'clock in the morning, it was hard for me to wake up. It is hard for me to wake up, you know, at that hour. So what I would do was take like a pre-workout, and that would like really get you going, get you sweating, get you, you know, your blood is racing. So by the time I was out of the shower, I still couldn't cool off.
Like a drink or like a whippet?
Yeah, it was a powder that you just mix in with your water.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. So it took a while for me to cool down. So by the time I was getting out of the shower, blow drying my hair, I was still sweating. So I would, you know, just try to take my time and slow things down just to kind of like bring my temperature down. But rarely did that ever work.
Wow. That's crazy. But then, I mean, okay. So exact same thing at home, right? Now it's like, all right, everybody can work from home. And it's like women can like, well, all right, we can either still take our hour and a half to get ready or like their male counterparts, they can roll out of bed, brush their hair and get on camera. You know?
Yeah, I think for the first few weeks, like working from home sounded amazing to a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like I can just roll out of bed. I don't have any conference calls I don't have any Zoom calls to actually log into, like, audio is okay. So working from home is going to be a piece of cake, you know. You don't have to go anywhere. Your kids are at home anyways. Right. So it sounds good. But then like after a while, you miss your coworkers. You miss that camaraderie kind of like what the kids are feeling, you know, you miss that social life with your coworkers. So it became difficult after, you know, the first few weeks working from home.
It's funny you mentioned that because where I was going with this is like, you know, talking to some of my coworkers, a lot of them, like, you're right. You would think that like working from home is great and that's what everybody wants to do and that's what they want to strive for. But what's funny is like a lot of them are like, yeah, but Lenny, you know, like I used to go to work and that. Yeah, I'm saving the 30-minute commute each way, so I'm saving an hour in commuting, and that's great, but that 30-minute drive to work is what put me into zone.
Yeah. And
getting dressed, you know, they were like, like, we don't have like a formal dress code, but they were like, I would wear a, not a suit, but a coat and a shirt and everything. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're putting on your uniform. And then like, you go to, you drive to work, you listen to the news or your podcast, whatever, and you're kind of getting in the zone. And then like, you start your day at work and you go to work and like, you do all the things. And then you're like, you have a hard stop because you're like, either you got to pick up your kid from daycare or you want to beat traffic home. And so like, mm-hmm. everybody wants to stop doing work. And it's like, literally like 4 o'clock, it's like, anybody that schedules a meeting after four, they're fucking assholes. And then you're like, hey, you stop work, you get in your car, and it's the same thing, right? But backwards. You get in your car,
yeah.
you listen to the news or the podcast, whatever, your music, and you sort of, you decompress, you put your computer, you turn your computer off, you put it in the briefcase, you decompress, you go home, you change into the lounging clothes, you eat dinner, you have a drink of wine, maybe a glass of scotch or whatever. It's like, you shag your wife, and it's like, you completely disconnect, and it's like, you know, you're able to turn it off. And what yeah. What I'm seeing with a lot of folks this time and age is like, they're not doing that. It's like,
they've got,
well, you can, it's just, you don't want to, or you don't. It's like, you have a home office set up, you get your computer, your monitors, everything is mm-hmm. all high speed, connected, VPN. You can just wake up your computer by tapping your keyboard, log in. I can fire off a few emails. I can knock out a little bit of work. And what I'm seeing is people are being overly productive now. In fact, yeah. if they're asking like, hey, are people still productive working at home? Shit. I think people are working 150% more because they can work late. They can work on Saturdays, Sundays, especially people that don't have kids. What the fuck else have they got to do? The shit's just staring at them. It's like, for all
they're in quarantine.
Yeah,
bitch.
You're in quarantine, bitch. Where the fuck are you going? Yeah. So fucking.
You better log into that VPN.
Yeah. So shit, fucking people are like, yeah, hell yeah, they're more productive. Everyone's like, this is great, and companies are all like, yeah, we're gonna let people work from home for good now. We don't got to rent.
Right.
Like, we don't
have
to rent.
That's what I read.
Yeah, we don't have to rent office space anymore. We're already trying to cram people into like open space and, you know, collaborative working environments. Shit, now we don't have to do that. Now we're just like, work from home, bitch. And you're going to work an extra day and a half or an extra half a day per day. It's like, fuck, this is great. I don't think it's sustainable. I think eventually, like, shit's going to take its toll. I think it'll take about 2 years, but yeah. it'll take its toll, and then it's like, it's got to stop. But anyways, but yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I've noticed. People are working a lot harder, longer hours, and they're enjoying working from home for now. But eventually, I think marriages will suffer. I think,
What I was going to talk about was that, you know, domestic violence has gone up in Bexar County.
In San Antonio, it's gone up already? That's crazy.
In San Antonio, there have been more domestic violence. And there's been an increase. So
that's fucked up. But it's also...
And not only that, an increase in child abuse. Because these kids are home. These kids being at home.
I thought you were going to say, because these little bastards won't listen. They just won't. They just fucking won't listen.
They won't leave.
They won't leave. Fuckers won't listen. Right? I tell you, fucking school's in session, bitches, and they won't listen. So shit gets real. That is not funny.
No, it's not funny.
No, you're right. And that's a very true statement. Yeah. If domestic violence is going up, then that includes children too. So.
Yeah. And of course, crime is going up. That was expected only because, you know, people are losing their jobs. People are trying to make ends meet. So, I mean, what else can you do besides steal and rob? You know, it's just.
Yeah. When the economy goes down, when unemployment goes up, that's a sort of the natural ugly stepchild is. Crime goes up too. Not that it's justified, but it is to be expected. Yeah. But you know, like, I don't know. I'm trying to keep my head up and control what I can control, and mm-hmm. and not worry about the shit that I can't. Like, I still play golf a lot.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
as long as y'all are enjoying yourselves, you know, and kind of getting away from, I guess, what the new normal is.
You know what's funny? So I've heard people get very offended when you say, oh, well, this is the new normal. Like, people are getting offended. Like, this is not the new normal. Like, bitches, like, this is, not only is this the new normal, like, this is going to be the new normal for a while.
A while.
Yeah. A while. Like, I'm still thinking back about people, like, in March. Like, it's just 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and it's that you just got to, like, you dumb bitch. What's going to change in 2 weeks? And so here's my prediction. So they're not saying this, but my prediction is, because I have some friends of mine that are parents, are asking about if school's going to start next year or what school's going to look like in the CDC guidelines. Also, I'm like, what the fuck makes you think school's going to start next year? Like,
yeah,
what's going to be different in 3 months from now? Like, what's going to change? Nothing. Like, there's going to be more, like the death toll, which we're tracking, is going to be a lot higher. Mm-hmm. The rate may go down. It might not, though. Like, the summer, people are going to be traveling. They're going to go see their family. They're going to go travel to beaches and shit, which means people are going to get sick or more frequently. And it's not like they're going to crank out a vaccine anytime soon. So, like, I think what's going to happen is, like, just like if you send your kids to school now, you have to show proof of vaccinations. Like, you have to show vaccination records, right?
Okay.
I don't think school's going to start until they have a vaccination record for this. I mean,
it's hard to say, because today I read that the CDC had come out with helpful guidelines for when school does start up. And some of it was, okay, so here in Bexar County, under 9 years old or maybe younger, the kids don't have to wear a mask. But now CDC is saying, okay, if you're going to start school in August, these kids need to be wearing masks. They need to be, you know, their desks need to be 6 feet apart, blah, 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 blah. In a lot of our areas in Bexar County, the classrooms are overpopulated.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Well, you know what I mean? So there's no way these kids are going to be okay with wearing a mask all freaking day.
Forget about the kids. What about like, if a kid is right now being raised by his grandparents because his parents aren't around? So the kid is coming and leaving, like, his home is, is, you know, his abuela's house. Mm-hmm. And she's 80 years old or 70 years old, diabetic, you know, and used to smoke for 50 years. It's like, and now that kid's going to go to school? Like, sure, the kid's going to be fine. He's going to kill his grandma. And, like, he's going to have to live with the fact that he brought home a disease. Like, there's no fucking way that shit's going to happen. Like,
isn't that crazy?
That's what I'm saying. Like, get it out of your head if you think that it's going back to normal and everything's going to be fine just because it only kills 1%. Like, no, you're not going to say. The thing with public schools, it's not a private school. Public schools, it's like, it is a one size fits all. So, like, you can't just assume that, like, well, everybody just logs on a high-speed internet. Like, no, not everybody has internet. Like, all right, well, then we'll give them all Chromebooks that have, you know, cellular signal. It's like, okay, but what if they live in an area that doesn't have cellular signal? Okay, well, then we're going to print out a bunch of material, and we're going to give them packets and material. Okay, fine. Then they can work from home. Great. Right? Then you've solved the working from home thing. But getting these kids to school, like, We sent Emma to daycare, but we've accepted the fact. It's like, yeah, she could get sick and she could get to one of us. It's a risk that we're willing to manage. But, like, what if we were 70 years old, and or what if my mom lived with us, or my mother-in-law with us, you know? Yeah. No, Emma wouldn't be going to fucking daycare. Sorry. Like, that's not going to happen. Yeah. Like, we're not going to, like, so that's the thing where I don't think, unless there's a vaccine, I don't see any way that just spacing kids apart and asking them to wear masks is going to, like, keep, you know, a grandma alive, you know? And so that's my theory. And what the fuck do I know? But I just don't see it happening. I mean, and then what's the drive for a school, for a district to take that on? For a district to say, like, okay, we're going to open up schools now because all these parents want to send their kids to school. And then there might be, like, 5% or five students parents might die, you know, but you guys will just deal with that. Like, fuck no, the school district's not going to take that on.
It's terrible. That's terrible.
They're not going to take that on. What? Because, like, so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so does Emma go to school in Harris County, or does she go to school in the county that you reside in?
So, no, she goes to daycare in Harris County.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, she goes to daycare. She didn't go to school yet.
Okay, so then how is she going? Okay, so in Bexar County, they had closed down daycares, but they stayed open only for essential workers.
Yep.
So are you're considered essential?
No.
Okay. They just stayed open.
They just stayed open. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, and I would assume that, like, private schools or, like, Catholic schools, I'm sure, like, Central Catholic in San Antonio probably stayed open. Like, I'm sure those things, you can get some workarounds there because they're not public schools.
No, they're not public, but they did close down. Mm-hmm. A lot of my high school friends, they had their kids in private school as these kids were growing up. And some of them were seniors, actually, this year. And eighth graders this year, graduating eighth graders and graduating seniors this year. And it really sucked because in private school, graduating is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Especially if you're playing sports. Like, that was a huge deal to these people who were actually paying for their children's education. So a lot of them were, they celebrate their graduation in quarantine.
Yeah,
you know,
we had some of our neighborhood kids graduated this year, and they had a little kind of like outdoor block party.
Awesome,
which was great. Yeah,
I'd like to see that.
It was super cool. And then, like, one of the kids was going to Texas Tech, where I'm like, oh shit, I'll drive you up there, and like, I'll show you where all the strip clubs are, and all. So, like, I was all excited, but you know what? Like, also. Like, I had to remind him, like, nobody gives a fuck about high school graduation. Like, after you like, it matters until that day. And then after that day, nobody gives a fuck. It's like,
nobody cares.
Nobody cares. And then, like, when you get to college, like, half the people don't even walk on their college grad. Like, I, the only reason why I walked on my graduation is because my mom and dad were coming up to see me. It's like, dude, seriously? Like, I would have much rather slept in. I was all hungover and shit. Like, nobody, nobody walks in their graduation. Nobody. Like, but nobody gives a shit about high school. I understand if you're getting your master's or your PhD, like, fuck yeah, you know, throw the big ass robe on and like, but like a bachelor's degree, like, who gives a fuck? And then, especially like a high school degree, who gives a high school degree? It's not even a high degree. Like, who gives a fuck? Like,
yeah.
Finish high school, don't, whatever. Like, nobody get, like, that. It's not important, but like, and again, like, I keep going back to like the, you know, so it sucks, right? But like, people need to understand, like, this isn't like a flu. It's not like this is a pandemic. Like, this is a bad part. And like, when you look back in 40 years, you look at the standard test grades or standard grades from kids, it's going to go down. Like 2020 and 2021, like, there's going to be bad test scores and kids are going to be a little bit dumber because they're going to be spending more time at home and fucking around. Like, that's going to happen. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what? Like, who gives a fuck? Like, that's not the most important thing right now. Like, yes, there's going to be bad standard test grades are going to go down. Who gives a fuck?
Like, I wish they would just get rid of those things.
Well,
what do you feel?
I'm fine with that too. Like, but the thing is, it's like, but people, like, everybody's like, they're asking, like, oh, but the schools or the kids are gonna have bad grades. I'm like, yeah, that's right, because right now, like, 100,000 Americans are gonna die from some fucking you know, cough. Like, yes, test grades are gonna go down because a fuckload of people are dying right now. Like, that's okay. It's you know, it's to try and manage that and try and manage some sort of stupid metric. It doesn't make any sense when, like, there's bigger, more important things at hand. And so, like, you know, yeah, okay, it sucks, but like, that's, you got to kind of keep things in perspective. And
yeah, absolutely.
That's my
thoughts. Like, some of these school districts here in Bexar County, they were talking about passing the kids who were already passing, who already had passing grades before spring break. because this is exactly when it happened. It happened during the spring break.
Yeah, and I've heard about this. Yeah,
my son's school district, that's Northside. It happened during spring break, towards the end of spring break. So by the time they were supposed to return is when they kind of put the shelter in place.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that's when all the quarantine started, like right after spring break was supposed. Everybody's supposed to be coming back and like, well, spring break extended 1 week.
Yep, 1 week, and then it came to 2 weeks, and they were like, we'll let you know. But it was everything was extended, and a lot of these teachers were like, if they were passing before spring break, they will pass the remainder of the year. They will, the teachers won't fail you, you know, but here they are handing out homework and homework, literally homework. Here they are handing out this work for them to do. Why are you giving them work? Why are you stressing them out when you know you're not going to count it? It's not going to be counted towards a grade or anything. It's not.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's a really good point. So I was talking to a friend of mine who's a teacher. She's like, well, they just need to, like, forget this semester, and then if they're going to start in the fall, everybody ended in the fall, ended now, they just pick back up in the fall. And the first 3 or 4 weeks of the fall, they finish this semester, the spring semester, and that's, you pick up.
That's it.
Yeah. My thought process is they're not going to start in the fall. Like, I just.
No.
I could be wrong. I mean, what the fuck?
I don't think so either. You know, I think it's going to be really difficult because you have some parents who are okay with working from home, who are productive working from home, and their employer is okay with them working from home. Therefore, some of these parents are like, fuck that. My kid's not going back to to school.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to send my kid back to school. No. For them to get sick. No, I'm not going to do that.
Well, and it's,
you know
it's,
what I mean?
For them to get sick and then bring it back home and like,
and bring it back home and hurt somebody else.
Yeah. And then also it's like, the other thing too is like, we still don't know. Like this shit was just discovered like 6 months ago. And we act like we know everything about it. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like,
I know.
We don't know what kind of long-term shit is going to happen for this. Like, we got guesses. Like, we have ideas. Like, I went to college with friends that are doctors. And I'm like, motherfucker, he's not that smart. Like, yeah, I mean, he can tell you, like, if your blood count looks like this, it's probably this. But, like, he doesn't know. Yeah, I mean, fuck, you don't know. Like, even my doctor's like, it's probably. Like, they use phrases like, it's probably this and it's probably that. I'm like, bitch, I went to engineering school. Like, we couldn't say, yeah, that bridge will probably stay up. Like, we couldn't have those types of, like, you know, ambiguous fucking answers, right? But, like, the doctor's like, yeah, you know, if your blood pressure's high, you know, there's a good chance, statistically speaking, blah, blah, blah. Like, motherfucker, you don't know. Like, you're in theoretical world. Like, engineering is empirical. Like, it's not theoretical. It's empirical. It's like, it's a fucking fact that if you put this much force on this bridge, it's going to fucking break. So, like, it's not like, you should be okay. We'll see. Wing it. We'll wing it. Yeah.
We'll see.
And it's, for me, it was always like, you know, you could stand to lose a few pounds and that'll help. I'm like, I got to cough. Like, I'm here because I cough. What the fuck? Why are you talking about my weight? Like, well, you know, maybe don't eat so much and then, you know, you won't cough so hard. Your chest hurts because it's carrying your stomach.
Oh my god.
Oh, that sucks.
So the governor opened pretty early. I mean, not as early as Georgia and other places, other states. How do you feel about opening back up?
I feel bad for the businesses because now they don't have an excuse to not pay their creditors, right? It's like, now they're like, you know, the bank's going to, it's like I said before on that, from Goodfellas, it's like when Paulie, now he's got Paulie as a backer, you know, now, You know, it doesn't matter. You had trouble with the bill? Fuck you, pay me. You know, oh, you had a fire? Oh, fuck you, pay me. And so now the banks are like, oh, you don't have the money for the rent? Well, fuck you, pay me. Like, you don't have an excuse now. Like, the governor said it's open, fucking open for business. And if you don't fill your restaurant up, fucking I'll take it over and I'll sell it to somebody else. So I don't think it's necessarily good. I mean, it's probably better than where it was, but I think it's probably worse for business because now it's like they don't have a scapegoat now, right? They don't have an excuse, so they're gonna be all out on their fucking own. And still, it's not like you can force people to go out just because half the people, like if your business was relying on 1% of the population, and now like only half of that 1% is willing to come out and, you know, patronize your restaurant, like, dude, you're still going out of business. Sorry. Like, you're not going to get enough clientele to make up for it. So I don't know. I think it's kind of shitty. And I think it's like a desperate attempt. I think, to be honest,
yeah, definitely.
To be honest, I think if like more emphasis was put on like, look, we've got all these, like we've got a better test or we've got testing. So we can guarantee that the people that are in this restaurant are not sick because they've taken a test. Or there's, as long, like, if there was that kind of security, then you're going to get more people to come out. But now it's like, you can't force people to come out of their houses. So just because it's open, right? Because also, right. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was dropping them off at daycare every day. Like, I've been playing golf like every week since quarantine. Like, they didn't quarantine the golf course. The fucking golf course is outside. Like, I'm walking out. I'm walking in the outdoor fresh air. Like, there's, you're not going to catch a respiratory illness by walking outside. So, you know, problem solved. Like, there's no better social distancing than playing golf. You're nowhere near another human being, especially like when I'm in the woods. So I'm like, I'm still going out. I'm still doing all those things. And now like I see the coffee shops are open up, restaurants just open up. I'm like, you know, still not gonna go to a fucking restaurant. Like for me, like I cook better than most restaurants. Most restaurants, I know. And most restaurants, it's like they, you know, even the delivery food, it's not very good. I'm not gonna lie. So like, going to restaurants is all about convenience is when I don't want to cook. And then it's like, it's going to be shitty food. I'm like, I might as well just pick up a frozen meal from a grocery store and just heat it up. Or, you know, I'll get some takeout from some decent restaurants, but like, it's, I don't know. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think it's too early. I feel like it's too early. Bexar County is still in shelter in place mode, you know, and a lot of these people, I mean, the economy is just like ready to get back into the groove of things, especially the bar scene, especially the restaurants, you know, but
yeah, when
I
you think
it's too early. Well, so I really think it's too early.
So the nice thing about this country is it's all about free will, right? So like when will you feel comfortable going to a restaurant? Cause that's the other thing is like, what I don't like is I don't like what I feel is my own personal fucking thing. Like, I can guess, I can empathize really well with other people, and I can kind of guess what they're going to want to do or what they're going to do, but I'm not going to fucking tell somebody else what to do. I can just say, like, I'm guessing a lot of people don't feel safe going out, and so they're not going to go out. And so, like, I just don't think, just because you turn on the switch and say, everything's open, like, it doesn't mean that everything's fixed. So when will you feel comfortable going to a restaurant with your family?
When I start
with your folks,
with my folks. See, that's okay. You because my folks are older; they're in their 70s already.
Yeah. So when are you going to take your folks out to like a birthday dinner?
I don't. I guess it would be up to them because, well, we have my siblings and I have been helping my parents. We'll do their grocery shopping. We'll deliver meals to them and whatnot, just to keep them in place, you know, keep them home.
That's great.
Although my mom has the problem of not following directions, and that's where I get it from. And she just wants to get out of the house. And she's like, well, I have a mask on. I'm good, you know? And I'm like, no, Mom, you don't get it. That's still not okay. But I feel like it's opened up too soon. So I would feel more comfortable going to restaurants and bars. When I see the number of positive cases on a daily basis decrease.
So what does that mean though? Like if the number of positive cases decreases to you, what does that mean?
It means like, okay, maybe this virus is shying away from the community. Maybe it's under control. Maybe
how does it become
places.
How does it become in control?
That's a tough question because a lot of these it's very hard to manage this virus.
So
it really is.
The way I see it, it's like it's under control when mm-hmm. it's killed enough. It's killed all the people that are susceptible. That's one way, mm-hmm. which is fucking dark, right? It's killed all the old people and as long as people are hiding and staying at the home, like it's like a horror movie. It hasn't found them, hasn't killed them yet. So it's like, okay, but once it kills all the people that are susceptible, then it's under control. Or, like, in my opinion, I think you're right, but just because a metric goes up or down, and then we're seeing, like, states like Florida and Georgia that are, like, doctoring the numbers, and then I think there's people that think that, like, well, hospitals now are artificially inflating the numbers to show more COVID things and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, like, the thing is, it's like, when did people feel comfortable, like, when polio was out? Like, when
right.
when the measles were...
How did they do this back in the days? How
everybody keeps trying to pull like a correlation between this and the flu. I'm like, motherfucker, like, the flu is a completely different thing. Like, this is more like the measles. It's more like the measles, you know, or more like polio. You know, when would you then, like, well, no, and then you're going to have, like, and then you're going to have the fucking anti-vaxxers, like, oh, we don't want, actually, you know, that's a good point. I wonder if anti-vaxxers are going to want to take the vaccine for this when it comes out. Like, you know what, you bitches got to, like, wing it, too. But no, I don't see, in my opinion, and again, it's strictly my opinion, I don't see this being under control until there's some kind of a vaccine or at least a way to know that if you go to a restaurant, none of the people that are in that restaurant have the disease.
Gotcha.
And just checking for fever, that's a lagging indicator. That's like, if they have a fever, that means they were contagious 3 days ago. You know what I mean? And that's the problem with like when the CDC guidelines about the schools opening up, it's like, well, they're going to do temperature checks. Well, like, yeah. All right. So if a kid comes to the school with a fever, like on Wednesday, but he was in school Monday and Tuesday, well, that means that on Monday and Tuesday, he was spreading out whatever he had with him. And if whatever he had with him was the coronavirus, that means that everybody he saw Monday and Tuesday is also infected, and all of their parents and grandparents and shit. Instead of focusing on like when things can open up and like how to kickstart the economy and how to get people back on their feet, I wish they would have focused more on like, okay, here is a very fast test to make sure that everybody, like that they can tell you whether or not you're contagious. Bam. And here's one test kit for fucking everybody. And you take one of these tests every day. And before you leave the house that day, you take this test and you can confirm that you're not, you know, you're not transmitting a disease. Like that's how you do it. Like that's how everybody would feel safe without a vaccine. Until then, like, I just don't see that. And then even when there is a vaccine, it's like if they come out of the vaccine, let's say on Monday they come out of the vaccine, right? When the fuck are you going to feel safe to go out? Like, well, you got to make sure that everybody's taking that vaccine, right? Like, so that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I think this is a
mixed,
very...
Yeah. There's a bunch of mixed feelings.
Yeah, I mean, I think my little two cents is like, everybody's just going to get comfortable with the fact that like, this is the way it's going to be for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll be lucky if school's... goes back to normal next fall, like 2021. I mean, that'll be a good lucky. Everybody be lucky if that's the case.
Yeah. I think the mask is the new accessory nowadays.
Yeah. I'm not. So are you wearing masks when you go out?
I do. Mm-hmm.
How often do you wash
them? Not when I exercise, not when, you know, I'm outside by myself or in the parking lot. I'll, you know, as soon as I hit the store or grab my shopping cart, I'm going to throw on that mask. Yeah.
I try to remember my mask. I don't always remember it. I will say it's pretty much the same mask. I keep it in my car. My thought process is my car gets so hot that whatever virus is on the cloth is going to get killed from the heat. But true. Yeah, but it's scary because, like, to me, the mask we were told not to wear in the beginning, right? They're like, oh, don't wear a mask. You keep touching your face. It's going to make you sick. And then after they realize, like, oh, we're all fucked. We need to have everybody wear masks. And they're like, well, yeah, you said don't wear a mask because it's going to make people get sick. And they're like, yeah, I'm not worried about the person wearing the mask. We're going to assume now that everybody has it. The assumption now is everybody's contagious. So everybody wears a mask so they don't spread their own germs. So, which is pretty fucked up. So that being said, have you gone on any dates lately?
No, of course not. We're in quarantine.
It'd be really hard now to go out and meet somebody, I would think. I don't know. It seems.
I think a lot of these apps, remember our idea of, what is it like? What do we call it? It was like a video chat, dating video chat.
Like a Zoom dating?
Yeah, like a Zoom dating.
Yeah.
A lot of these apps that, you know, a lot of these dating apps that have already been out already have added that feature of
video. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, not that I would know because I'm married. I'm married.
I've heard about it.
I've heard. I'm not on those dating apps anymore. but I can only imagine. I'm sure it's great. And nor have I ever recognized anybody on those dating sites.
Yeah.
No, it's crazy. I still play in bands. I still gig and stuff like that. And like, what's funny about being in bands is like the people you meet in bars, especially like the single people you meet in bars that are like, like already in their like late 30s and stuff. They're like, you know, in the dating scene and whatnot. And they're like, you meet them, like, you know, on break, you're sitting there talking to somebody in a bar and you're like, So what's going on? What's new? How do you meet people? And like back in my day, it was like eHarmony, Match.com, and then Yahoo Dating. Like that was it. Now there's like, Yahoo, I think I told you that's where like you didn't have to pay. So like I don't want to go into it now. But anyways, I went into it on another podcast. I don't want to go into it now. Go back and look. But anyways, it's like you could do fantasy. Yahoo had like the last two strains that kept Yahoo alive was like their fantasy football league and their dating site. So anyways, I don't want to get into it. But I'm like, so where do you, like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, so I'm talking to these people I'm meeting at gigs and stuff like that. And I'm like, so what do you, you know, tell me about these guys I met on, you know, Tinder. I'm like, oh, hey, well, Tinder's like the new, you know, telephone or cellular phone app. And then there's like Bumble and then there's like Grindr for, like, what? So Grindr's like the gay Tinder, right?
Yes, that's okay. What I heard.
Okay, yeah. And then what's Bumble?
Bumble's like a Tinder.
It is.
It's a dating app too.
It's just like Tinder. So it's just a competitor to Tinder.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Okay. And then what is Sugar Daddies?
My assumption would be that it's young females looking for older males.
Okay. I'm curious. How do you know?
Like I said, that would be my assumption.
And then, so I do remember about 8 years ago, FarmersOnly.com was a thing. Do you remember Farmers Only?
Oh my gosh, those commercials were hilarious.
Yeah, that was the best. I loved Farmers Only. So like now there's like a bazillion dating apps, but it's like, it's funny to hear like everybody I see that I go out to a bar, you know, or playing a gig or whatnot. And they're like, yeah, like, so what's it like dating now? Like in your 30s or, you know, your 40s or 50s, whatever. There's like, oh, there's one for like people that make over $100,000 a year. I forgot what? That. Yes.
Shit, I need to get on that one.
There's one for like There's one seniors, yes, over 50.
Silver Our Life or My Life or something like that.
Yeah, Silver Lining or something like that. The Grass is Greener or some shit like that.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of, like, how do you even keep up with that shit? And I we talked about it before on one of the previous casts. It's like, it's so hard just trying to keep up with, like, the five people that you meet digitally and then trying to remember all that shit. I'm like, dude, it's just got to be so fucking overwhelming. I'd be just like, you know what? How about we just have coffee and then, like, start all over? I couldn't possibly imagine, like, trying to do all that, especially now. Oh, fuck that.
You know, I'm totally okay. And during quarantine, I'm totally okay being locked up by myself. But I do have friends that have actually gone on dates in a park.
Really?
Yeah, just to fulfill that itch. I don't know. I don't get it. I really don't get it. But me, I'm like, wait. It's all good. I'll wait.
Yeah, it's got to be super tough. I don't know. Like, you're gonna go out. You're gonna, you know, even if you're gonna see somebody, I don't know. It's hard. It's hard not to, like, shake somebody's hand. Like, it's super hard.
Yeah.
Like, that's a natural impulse. I think, like, in the future, it's gonna be hard for people to shake people's hand. Like, that's not gonna be something we do again. Like, hugging and kissing. Like, that's
I don't think. What do you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know that that's gonna come back. I mean, maybe it will, but. Once there's a vaccine, maybe, but I don't know. It's a big question mark. I don't know. Well, I don't know. So normally we talk. We've gone long enough here, but we normally talk about a lot of relationship stuff. But today we're talking about a lot about the quarantine stuff, and I don't know. You know, this is a good timestamp in life to see if, like, you know, hey, today's May 21st. Let's see if, like, you know, in 2 weeks, everything opens up and everything's back to normal. What that's like?
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. It's hard to say because, you know, even today or the day before last, Bexar County had just extended their stay at home shelter in place. So, you know, it's just.
But what does that mean, hard. Though? What does that shelter? What does that mean?
Well, they kind of label it work safe, stay home. You know, so if you don't have to. If you don't have to go to work, don't go to work.
So it's still voluntary.
If you can work from home, work from home.
Yeah. But if you got to drop your kids off at daycare, then drop your kids off at daycare.
Yeah.
Or if you got to go pick up stuff at the grocery store or liquor store, like, by all means, go get it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I've been spending a fuckload on groceries. That's all I know.
On groceries? What about liquor?
Well, I mean, it's the same bill. It's the same bill. It's the same bill. I'm not drinking.
No, I separate those.
I'm drinking wine. So, like, it's all part of the grocery store bill. The problem is, it's like, I'm not going to buy less than six bottles because you get a 10% discount when you buy more than six bottles. I'm buying fucking six bottles. So, like, 70 bucks, at least 80 bucks on my grocery bill is wine. But, you know, whatever. Yeah, I don't judge. So... I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's super interesting. I don't know what's going to happen. I think, I like I said, I just have this weird feeling that, like, shit's going to open up and then people are going to get sick. The death tolls are going to go higher again. People are going to get scared. There's going to be, like, in August, the flu's going to come back. People are going to get confused. They're like, do I have the flu? Do I have this? They're not going to know. And that's all assuming that whatever COVID-19 virus is doesn't evolve. Like, the whole point of a virus is it evolves. And so, like, it'll change, it'll morph. And, like, then shit will get really fucking scary. And it's like, what if this is just like the, you know, like, yeah, right now it's only targeting people with, you know, respiratory illnesses or respiratory, you know, and then next it's going to be people that, like, I don't know, like, have whatever issue. Like, who knows? Like, there's so much
asthmatics.
Yeah, or heart conditions. Or right now they're finding out that, like, this has a much bigger effect on kids because, like, it screws with their inflammatory system or whatever. So, like, there's all kinds of shit that's coming up now that they're figuring out. And that's the thing. It's like, when it's new, what do they call that? A novel virus? Like, when you have something
novel.
New. Yeah, when it's new, like, well, yeah. Because we just don't fucking know. So I don't know. Yeah. Just to say that, like, it's open. I just don't think that people can.
I don't understand it. And to me, I feel like the governor kind of sounds like really fucking greedy right now. Not so much greedy. It's just kind of like stupid. Like, why would you open up right now, especially when we haven't even seen a peak of this yet. I don't think.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
My guess is it's really just pressure to get, like, to stop the
economy going.
Well, because, like, when the economy is going down, and down, it's like, it's tax dollars, tax revenue is going to be going up for unemployment and all that stuff. And it's like, that's bad for business, I guess. So I think there's a big part of it is that. And then it's just, I mean, it is bad. It's terrible. But, like, I don't know. Like I said, I think one of the things is, like, there are people that I talk to that just don't see the difference between, like, this and the flu. And it's like, you know.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's sad that you don't realize that, but maybe like if your parent caught it and they're dying and you're not able to say goodbye to them because you're going to catch it, like, maybe then you'll understand. So, like, it's pretty fucked up, but I was like, maybe that's what it'll take. But people, you know, people are party animals. Like, we don't know, until it has a personal effect on me. And it's easy to say, the thing is, too, is also, it's easy for me to say, yeah, fucking close the economy. Like, that's also a class decision, right? Because, like, I'm not a waiter. I'm not a bartender. Like, I have a comfy desk job that I can work from home. Like, I have the ability to earn the same income by sitting my fat ass at home and not taking a shower and, like, doing all those things we joked about. Like, I have that luxury of still having that. And it's like, there are people that don't have that luxury. They're like, look, fucker, I'm glad it works for you, sending your daughter to daycare and you do all that shit. Like, but for the 40% of us that are filing for unemployment, or 30% of us that are filing, like, it fucking sucks. And, like, it's not sustainable. So, like, that's where I, like,
word.
Yeah, I can't, totally. I don't feel comfortable, like, telling other people what to do when, Jesus Christ, in my situation, it's super nice and super convenient. And vice versa, right? There's shit that, like, affects me that doesn't bother other people, too. So it's like, it's hard for them to empathize in my situation. So for me, like, you know, I agree. Like, my thought process is fucking open the doors, open it up. Like, you know what? Like,
people. Yeah, and you have your choice. You go or you don't.
And, you know, we saw what happened. Like, Sweden did that, and now they have, like, the highest death toll in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, all right, stands to reason that'll probably happen here too, because, like, people are going to be like, you tempt them, you dangle that carrot, like, you know, if you want to go to that bar, go to that bar.
It's open.
You go in, and then you go to that bar, and then, like, all right, then come home and get, you know, migas or, you know, menudo at home for your hangover, and abuela catches it, and then abuela dies. Like, oh, oops.
Oops.
Yeah. You got to live with that decision.
That was some good caldo, though.
Yeah, I know. What's fucked up, though, is, like, we talk about, like, domestic violence and the, like, psychological issue people are having, like, staying at home with their spouses. That's another indication. Fucking maybe marriages weren't meant to happen. Like, dude, marriages are great when one person leaves the house all day. But, like, when two people, when they're both in the same house all fucking day, that wasn't in the Bible, yo. Like,
divorce court.
Yeah. Like, people, like, this marriage was all about, like, one person stays home and raises the kids and the other one goes and kills the saber tooth. Like, you know, it wasn't designed for, like, you don't kill the saber tooth on Amazon and have it delivered to the house. Like,
it should, oh my God.
We're going to have to rethink how relationships work, because it wasn't designed for every. That's also the reason why, like, I think it's, like, everybody is super happy now. Like, I'm telling you, 99% of the when you do a survey, like, yes, we're super happy working from home. We want to keep working from home. It's great. I have everything I need. I don't need to go in the office. Like, yeah, that's after, like, 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, after 2 months, it's like 5% of people are like, yeah, no, I need to go back to work. For whatever reason, I have to go back to work. And then maybe after 6 months, we're like, that 5% will be like 20%. Like, listen, it was great at home, but my wife is also home. I need to get the fuck out. And then, like, and it'll just compound. Like, so I'm thinking, like, even if everything gets back to normal and people are like, yeah, we can keep working from home, everybody's doing productive, I give it 2 years. And after 2 years, they're going to be like, all right, I want to go back to work. Fuck this. Like, I'm done at home. Home sucks. I want to go home. I want to go back to work. Please, please, yeah. please.
Pick me.
Yeah, pick me. And it's for all the reasons you brought up, right? It's like, you know, you want to have a separation of work and home. I want to have my work environment with my schedule, my meeting conference rooms and stuff like that. And I get dressed. Yeah. I have the commute. I get in the zone. And then after work, I worry about traffic and I get home and I wind down and I, you know, watch TV or I watch my kids play sports. And so people need that sort of separation. So I don't think the working from home thing, I think it's great. I think it's great for companies. I think they're making out like bandits, but yeah. I don't think it's going to last. I give it 2 years. That's my thought.
Yeah, that's a long time, man. That's a really long time.
That's what I think. I don't know. All right. Well, Margie, we've had a good, I think we can wrap it up. We've had a really good talk. How are you feeling? Are you feeling good? Are you okay?
Yeah. Absolutely.
How are you doing personally? How are you? Do you want to like beat your children? It's totally messed up. How are you doing at home?
Home is good. Home is good. You know, the semester's almost done. I just got a couple more weeks, and
do you have any plans for this Memorial weekend? Do you have any plans?
I don't. We're supposed to have really bad weather here in San Antonio.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it's going to hit Houston, but I'm pretty sure it is. Everything hits Houston, right? So, I probably not. Just staying indoors, whatever. We'll see.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, are you guys, you're going to hang out? Yeah. You know.
I'll hang out with fellow unemployed.
or employed. It doesn't matter. It's not like they're fucking going anywhere. That's the other thing too. Like, oh yeah, Labor Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend. What are you going to do? Like fucking the same shit I'm doing every day. Like, it's not like I'm going anywhere. I'm not going to go to the fucking beach. Like, I'm not going to go anywhere. Like fucking stay home and sit on my ass. Like, or I'll ride my bike or I'll go play golf. Like that's the other thing too. Like, I'm also like mature enough. Like, fuck, I don't have to walk around. Mom, I'm bored. What do? I'm bored. I'm like, yeah. Fuck, I got cook. Shit to do.
You'd be like, I'm gonna cook.
You know, it is.
I know you would.
It's very easy for me but see, the thing is, I've been doing it since I was 6 years old. So like, it's something I enjoy. It's something that like, it's one of my hobbies. So
yeah,
it's okay. But the assumption that everything I make is amazing and that everybody's excited about, like, truth be told, there's like 5 things that my family likes that I make, and everything else are like, yeah, that's good. Like, yeah. You bitches.
Dude.
Anyways, well, listen, this is good. I'm really glad. I'm glad we did another podcast. We got to do another one this week.
Absolutely.
Week. This is
my bad. I've been slacking.
You have, but it's okay. So have I. It's all right. It's okay. It's understandable. But I'm glad you're doing okay. I'm glad everything's okay with the family. Oh, I didn't even ask. Is your daughter okay? How's everything in the Air Force?
Everything is good. Everything is good. She hates the fact that she can't travel yet. I think they extended the travel ban for military until June 30th. I want to say.
So. And that was kind of like half the reason for joining too. They get to see the world.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, shit, Mom, what did I get myself into?
But is she liking it?
Oh, yeah.
Does she like the structure?
She's totally loving it. She's totally loving it.
So, so real quick, do you want to know what I think is amazing? And I just thought about this the other day.
What is it?
So how old is your daughter now?
She's 19.
So how old was she when you used to bring her to work?
Dang, she must have been, let me see, I started like in
8 or 9.
She must have been, eight or nine, yeah.
Do you remember you used to bring her in the office and I would make her paper airplanes?
Yes, she still remembers that.
And I'm not going to lie, it kind of touches my heart, the fact that she joined the Air Force after, like, every time she came to the Air Force, I would make her, like, these cool, super cool paper airplanes.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It is very crazy. I think that is super cool. I'm not going to lie. I'm very proud of her. I'm very, very proud of her.
Hey, you know what? She still has some drumsticks of yours.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. And you gave her some drumsticks after I took her to one of your shows, and she still has them.
Oh, that is super cool. Man.
Yep.
That is super cool. But I think that the best thing is, like, she joined the Air Force, and, like, when she was 8 or 9, your friend from work would make her paper airplanes. And she's like, you know what? This shit's badass. I'm going to do that for a living.
I think I'm going to do this.
That is super cool. Well, listen, this is awesome. It warms my heart to hear all of that. It warms my heart to hear that you're doing well. So we'll catch up again after the weekend and do another one. I want to try and get Todd or some of our friends. Actually, there's another coworker I know, completely different than you, except very similar in a lot of ways. He was a single parent on the dating mm-hmm. scene. He finally tricked a girl into marrying him, which is great for him. I feel bad for his wife, but no, he's, but a lot of similar things, a lot of the same challenges about dating, all that. And I want to do, I'll introduce you to him and maybe we can do a podcast with three of us. Hey, you know what? Funny thing is,
awesome.
This shit's easy now because everybody calls in. I used to be against like the call-ins, but like, fuck, like, we're not going to have live guests.
That's how we do.
Yeah, it's going to be another year. So I'm like, fucking, everybody's doing it. So
everybody.
Anyways, well, listen, this is awesome. Have a safe weekend. I love you so much.
You too.
Please be safe. Ya. Yes, this is awesome.
Y'all be safe.
Yep, you too. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.